how you doing? Zach Cassidy.
MH100.
Peyton Prince.
Father George.
Adam Henry.
TJ Laramie, and you're listening to Windy City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Drake DeMore, and thank you for downloading or streaming this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Wind City's only local sports podcast featuring weekly interviews with athletes and coaches, and much more. You can hear every episode of Wind City Sports on windcitysports.com or listen to the radio version on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We'll talk all about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. Today is Thursday, September 27th, 2018, and it is episode 115 of Wind City Sports. We are just about a week away from Border City Wrestling's 25th anniversary show at St. Clair College. It's all going down on October 6th. And wrestling fans, Border City fans, do we ever have a treat for you today? Today we are joined by three former guests of Wind City Sports here on the podcast. It's El Reverso, Aiden Prince, and Phil Atlas. They all came down to the CJAM studio last week to do a little BCW roundtable. We talk about, obviously, how they discovered Border City Wrestling, more so as a fan. We talk a lot about BCW and a lot of BCW memories about, you know, things that happen at events, and kind of get caught up with a lot of former BCW superstars. Them being in the wrestling business, they obviously have these connections. So we kind of just go through a couple names of some past superstars, not necessarily like big names, but a lot of local guys and Can-Am wrestling guys. So we go through that and tell some stories, share some memories. And of course, we talk about the event upcoming up next Saturday. Spoiler alert, it gets a little heated between Aiden Prince and Phil Atlas. At the time that we recorded this, actually, their match hadn't been announced, but I truly believe that this certainly influenced a lot of the specifics to the match. If you're unfamiliar, it is pretty much explained in the podcast. But back in March, Phil Atlas and Brent Banks were the tag team champions in Border City, and due to their split, Border City allowed them to both pick a partner and decide who are the undisputed champions. Brent Banks picked Aiden Prince, and Phil Atlas picked another partner in Jake Something, and ultimately Phil Atlas and Jake Something took home the belts. So it gets a little heated towards the end of this interview here, and then we also talk about the Can-Am Wrestling School with El Reverso and Aiden Prince. Prince is going to be one of the trainers, if you haven't seen, but they explain everything if you're interested in coming out to the Can-Am Wrestling School, how you'd go about that, and just some advice from the wrestlers themselves. But before we get into this week's interview segment, we're going to take a quick moment to hear about our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week. This week from our men's and women's soccer teams is Chris Al Youssef and Kaylee Cunlife for their efforts this past weekend in the doubleheader games. More on that later on in the show. But now, without further ado, it's time for our interview segment of the show. This is El Reverso, Aiden Prince, and Phil Atlas of Border City Wrestling, from right here in the CJAM studios from last week. Here we go.
Just try to contain yourselves. Here at CJAM with three former guests of Wind City Sports, the Yuchan from the Yukon, El Reverso. Thanks for coming out. Former BCW champion, Phil Atlas.
Current tag team champion.
And current tag team champion, excuse me. And the mayor of Prince City, Aiden Prince. Boys, thanks for coming down. We're here to talk about the 25 years of BCW. 25th anniversary is coming up in a few weeks. Big show coming up. So first thing I wanted to talk about, as we were kind of shooting the breeze about before, when were you first introduced to BCW? Before you, maybe even before you started training, like, did you see a flyer for a show and are like, hey, I want to go to this thing? Or like, you know, where would you, did you first discover BCW? Anyone that's started off?
I think because it kind of involves two of us here. I remember I met Atlas here in grade 9 English class. It was a stupid thing, actually, over a clock. And we started talking about wrestling. And he was like, have you ever heard of Border City Wrestling? And I was just like, well, no, I haven't. And he's like, oh, well, you got to come and check it out. So as teenagers, you know, he brought me to my first Border City show, where I watched Tyson Dukes dance around the ring and strut his stuff. And stayed and met him after the show and everything. And Yeah, I was hooked ever since then. So 14 years old, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I believe I first heard about it when The Rock came down to LaSalle.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't actually there, but that's when I heard. That's when I kind of got on the radar for me where Border City Wrestling existed, right?
Okay.
Shortly after that, I started going to shows. And, I was hooked right off the bat. I mean, I was always a wrestling fan. But, shortly after that, I got in touch with Chuck Fader, one of the founders of Border City Wrestling. And I started selling tickets for him, and I'd show up early, and I would help out with the ring setup, and I would usually help out with some of the guys. like John.
You never Jerry's helped.
Jerry's Lynn. Well, that was when I actually started. Yeah. I would help him with like
that's later.
Jerry Lynn stands out in my mind. Like I was the one helping him when he was selling his autographs. I'd be the one collecting the money and lining up people. He gave me a cut. It was pretty rough. But I remember I was helping out a lot because I always said like I wanted to do this, but you know, at the age I was, maybe 14, 15, 16, who knows, something around that range, I just knew that was my position right there, and if I wanted to be involved. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I couldn't get in the ring yet, but I could definitely be involved and sell tickets for them and show them that I could help out somewhat, right?
Yep. And
that's how I got kind of introduced to it.
Proof of ground a little bit, you know?
Yeah. But it was when The Rock came to LaSalle, that's when it was in the paper, and that's when I was like, this wrestling Windsor. So, you know,
do you guys know when that was? What year that was? Because apparently, I was a baby, and they brought me. I don't even, I don't remember.
90, I'm sure you can look it up.
Yeah, well, 96.
I want to say.
Yeah, well, Nation of Domination. Rocky Sock.
They had D'Lo, Henry, and The Rock here in LaSalle Arena.
I remember always hearing about it, and I was like, my dad would say, we brought you guys when you were, like, really little. And I'm like, obviously, I have no memory of it. And then more recently, they started putting those pictures, like, you know, on this day.
Yeah. That was the first I've heard about it when I knew, like, I didn't know wrestling existed in Windsor, right? I just saw it on TV, and that's all it was for me. But then I saw in the paper, they said The Rock was here and this and that, and I was just like, there's wrestling in Windsor, and it was on the radar for me, and I've been following them ever since.
Cool.
For me, it was, growing up, I came to Border City shows, so we talked about this before.
Yeah.
So I used to actually watch these guys and stuff like that before, before I even, you know, started wrestling myself. So some of my first memories was actually watching these guys and watching, you know, like the Chicharro Club shows with Gangrel and like guys like that would come in. So then I finally eventually moved to Windsor and I was hooked.
You knew of it when you were in Wallaceburg too.
Oh yeah,
too,
I was in Wallaceburg.
Because they did shows there too, actually.
Yeah, in that area, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then when I moved to Windsor, I already knew BCW was here, and it was, you know, I was always looking for posters and those type of things, so I was always going to the Dylan shows, those ones.
Yeah.
And I always knew about the wrestling.
That's where I debuted, actually.
Yeah, we were
March 24th, 2004 was my debut at the Dylan's Nightclub.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
we had, like, a whole group of buddies. We'd go to every single show. It was nuts.
I remember that was such a low roof, actually, too. Saban hit the ropes. Didn't even jump. Hit the ropes and hit his head off one of the little things hanging down.
Some of the craziest main events, like, when you think back now, it's like it was always, like, Frankie Kazarian and Alex Shelley or Saban and Kazarian.
Zach Gowen was there on our first show.
That was funny. Yeah, good times, man. Good times.
Can I tell the story or do you want to tell the story?
Of Zach Gowen?
Yeah.
It's a pretty crazy.
Yeah, him and Zach Gowen and Prince apparently had beef.
It was a little bit of beef when I was a youngin'. It's funny. I had walked up to him outside and asked for an autograph, and he didn't want to give it to me at that time. So I was pretty bummed out as a little kid. You know, Zach Gowen didn't give me my autograph. So I went in. I told my buddies, you know, Zach Gowen won't give me an autograph. You know, so it was like it lit a fire under like our whole group for some reason. So I think that was the only time he was in Windsor too ever. Right?
Yeah, that was. I remember I'm backstage and I'm watching through the curtain and I'm like, he comes out and he's supposed to be this baby face for the show and everything, and he slaps this piece of pizza out of this kid's hand. I remember I even like turn around like, oh my god, can you believe that happened?
Yeah,
you know, look at that filler or whatever. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess he already said it. You know, I was the little kid that he smacked the pizza out of his hand. Well, what happened is he had come out of the ring and I was still excited to see the guy. I was still in crazy fan mode. And all my buddies turned their back to him, and he took that as, like, disrespect. But, like, I was still cheering the guy. Like, I was still, like, so excited to see this guy. And the first person he's seen was me, so my pizza is what took the... It's crazy, because now, fast forward, I think I wrestled him, like,
five, I was going to say.
probably almost 10 years later. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was wondering if you ever crossed paths.
Yeah. It was. He's a really good guy. He's super cool. It's funny looking at it now. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, months ago, I was like, man, we were telling the story, and Prince is like, I was that kid. I'm like, no way. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he starts telling me the story, and I'm like, oh, man, like, that's me. And then I'm like, how many times was he in Windsor? Because I'm like, there's no way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember him coming. That was at Dylan's, you said?
Yeah.
Well, he'd always meet me in Windsor, and we would travel together.
Yeah.
We got pretty close at one point.
Yeah.
Now he's a family man.
Yeah.
He's doing very well for himself.
Yeah, he has his own yoga.
He's doing a lot of outreach.
he's a cool dude now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, I think he had some problems.
He's doing well right now.
Yeah, I saw him in Michigan actually pretty recently.
Yeah, like, Detroit guy.
Yeah,
Michigan guy. He's doing great.
Right on. So a lot of people have came through BCW, you know. Like
I couldn't even. Someone asked me like, "What were your top guys that have come through?" I can't even. It's hard to even remember.
Yeah.
Because now that I've been doing this for so long, I've run into so many people, and it's hard to remember, like, this was at a Border City show, or this was at a Border City show, you know. But, yeah, there's been so many names. You could go from Jerry Lawler to, I don't know, man.
Trust me, I've been editing for the show for
there's
the last
so many
few
people.
Weeks,
tons.
And I find myself going down this rabbit hole of, like, watching just classic video after classic video.
Yeah.
It's like, some of these guys, it's like, I didn't even know they were here, so I'm skimming through, you know, looking for footage of, you know, Mike Legacy and Bobby Clancy.
The man who sets the standards.
Future show.
And I'm finding, you know what I mean, like Greg the Hammer and like crazy.
Well, that's the thing. It's
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Gangrel,
D'Lo
Brown, Rock, Mark Henry, Honky Tonk, King Kong Bundy. Jerry Lynn, Lance Storm.
Yeah,
Lance Storm.
Mikey Whipwreck.
Well, then that's the thing. So you had guys that, like, come in once, and then you had guys that came and stayed, like Whipwreck had been around for a while, BCW, and, like, Dreamer. Like, a lot of, like, Terry Taylor and Cyrus were doing their thing.
They were producers at one point for when they first got TV.
Well, if you watch on the Global Wrestling Network there.
Yeah.
Oh,
they have all that
stuff? Yeah. Oh, there's lots on there.
Yeah, D-Lo was changing.
Oh, yeah. It's on there.
You're getting royalties.
I think.
Please, I'm a struggling artist here. Want my piece of the pie?
I think for me, like when you think of like old school BCW, I think of Sabu every time.
Sabu was a huge influence.
What I loved about it is like you would come to shows and it was like the whole show I'd be like anticipating like him showing up or like whatever because he'd never be advertised.
They never announced him.
Never announced Sabu.
And the then, lights like, would just go out.
Lights
boom.
Would go out and you knew it was gonna happen, you know. And then they like they flick on and you just
he'd be in the ring.
To this day, I've never seen like. Like, I remember going to those shows and, like, people are slamming the guardrails and stuff. They were so amped that the lights turned on and he was in there.
I remember when Mick Foley came, we had 1,500 people. It was insane, dude. Yeah.
Those were great times at the Zicharo Club there.
The place we do it now at the college there, like, that's so perfect.
It's
perfect atmosphere, you know?
You're right on top of
everything.
I think, personal.
Like comparing it now, it's like we're more of like a production. We're like, a big show.
It's not just
it's really a
production.
But I mean, I love the old feel as well because I remember waiting in line. I think Larry Destiny or something got jumped in the hallway while we were waiting to get in or something like that. Like, so it had like a totally different feel. Like, I remember, I think it's either Kubota or Chicharo has that big fountain and stuff.
Chicharo.
And I remember waiting for just like tickets and then like all of a sudden two people start brawling and I was like, it has its own awesome feel to it. It's like that ECW vibe.
I remember we used to walk in and wait in line. You'd be able to see them all back there.
I'll never forget a random little story. I was like waiting in line for tickets, and it was the show that Kevin Nash was supposed to be at, and then he canceled, and they got like X-Pac. And I'll never forget like
that was at the Hellenic.
I will never forget being there. Because this guy was so mad that Kevin Nash was not there. And he was, like, ranting in, like, the aisleway. And he was, like, trying to rally people together to get his money back because Kevin Nash wasn't there. And, like, I'll never forget. It was, like, he was from the States. You know, I just hear, like, Nash ain't here. I want my damn money. I remember just losing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Xbox was really cool to have here, man. Honestly, he was like one of the nicest guys. Yeah,
I loved it. It was funny, he was so nice. Dude. The shows, the one show I went to that Xbox was at, they didn't announce he was there, like, so nobody knew. And I remember going to get a chair, like, I just wanted an extra chair to, like, sit with, like, my buddies. And I go to look, and, like, I pick up the chair, and I just happen to look up and just see Xbox, like, peeking through the curtain. And I'll never forget that. I just, like, face-to-face with Xbox for a minute, like, what the hell? And I, like, back to my buddies, I'm like, dude, I think I just seen
Xbox. You're almost face-to-face with everybody in the locker room in that show, actually. Yeah, I almost took the whole curtain down. There was, like, five people. When I came out, I tripped over the curtain, and, like, five people had to grab the rods and everything. Like, yeah, I remember I fell on my face, and I had to front flip, and, like, I tried to make, you know, save it a little bit. It was so ridiculous. So, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I remember once, too, I asked Josh Abercrombie to get me Amazing Red's autograph. And to this day, I feel terrible. Like, I remember him looking at me so offended. Like, what the hell, you know? And then, like, I never understood why. For, like, years, I was like, man, that guy hated me for asking.
Why would you ask him?
And it's like, now I look back and I'm like, what a jerk move. Like, because he just happened to be near the curtain. Like, he was, like, standing there, and it was like, I was like, 12 and obsessed with Amazing Red.
Was that at that show? I think I wrestled up at that show.
Maybe, I don't know, but yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I think Red only came here once.
I was me, Josh, Pete, and Derek Wilde. Oh my gosh, Derek Wilde. He's one of my favorites.
Derek Wilde is one of the coolest people
ever. Yeah, yeah.
I've had one of my most hellacious feuds in my wrestling career with the Danger Boy Derek Wilde.
My man is nuts.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I remember I was still very green, and that's one of my favorites. So I hit him so hard with the forearm, he like, F reverse, and boom, right back, yeah, right?
He's crazy.
Man. Oh, yeah.
He's a good dude. Him and Tyson Dukes always had crazy matches.
Yeah, yeah, killer.
Every match, that running drop kick, Tyson sitting in the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Bumps on the floor.
I remember him doing the twisting over the top, too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Derek Wall was one of my, early on in my career, was one of my big supporters. He's the one who got me more, like, branching out more in Ontario. Mm-hmm. He gave me more bookings. He really helped me out a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We used to wrestle for him in Welland, Ontario,
actually. Yeah, but he helped me a lot. Like, if he's listening, thank you, bud.
Yeah. What's he doing now? Is he still
involved in anything? He's old now. I mean, he's got a family now.
He's retired, yeah, yeah.
He's retired. He's still jacked, actually. He's bald now, though.
Very tanned.
Yeah, I saw a post on Facebook, actually, when Ty Dillinger was in town with WWE there. They met for dinner. Yeah. So he still hooked up with all the old guys.
He's a Windsor guy? He's in Windsor?
No, he's from he's from London.
Yeah, he's from London, yeah.
But he was around for BCW a lot.
Mm-hmm. I know the name, but I can't remember.
I just remember, like, the bead necklace and, like, the spiky
blonde
hair.
Yeah, spiky blonde hair. Yeah, he kind of had the super gimmick, like, old Sting without the paint.
Yeah.
I used to wrestle, like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with UWA Hardcore. Is it Mississauga? Mississauga? And that's where I kind of really got connected with Danger Boy Derek Wilde. We did like a big feud, and for about six months we were just carrying on this feud, and it was one of the most memorable moments of my career. Just really, where I actually started getting into a storyline or more high profile matches,
mm-hmm.
and it was all because of him. He just really took a liking to me and really pushed for me, you know. So again, if you're listening, thank you.
That's cool. So. Like, talking about all these moments, there's one that I always hear about. I may have been there, but I don't remember it. This story about Tommy Dreamer showing up.
I wonder if that's the one where Sabu didn't show up and they were expecting him to be there. So they ended up having
something like
Dreamer
that,
right? And Rhino for the title. You know what I mean? Because it was supposed to be Sabu and someone else. I don't want to say it was just the crowd lost it. You know what I mean?
I can't remember.
It had to have been, like, probably 2001, 2002 era.
Dreamer was there a few times.
Oh, he was there a ton. Like, he was, like, a regular guy. That's what I mean. Like, I remember, I think Jeffrey Scott was talking about it, and it's like, oh, he was there all the time from what I remember. So, like,
yeah, he's one of the coolest guys, too, in the backstage.
Yeah, he was a big supporter of mine, too. He got me a lot of opportunities. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, he's in, like, obviously he did his WWE thing, but, like, he's in.
That's when, like, he was really, that's when I was getting a lot of extra work with WWE, and that's who I was in contact with.
Yeah, I guess he was, I don't know if he was an agent, but he did a lot of work with them.
Think he was an agent at the time. He definitely was doing something backstage. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just an active wrestler, but, yeah. He's another great guy in the business. Really, he keeps track of what's going on in the indies and what's going on with guys he meets. I mean, I saw him maybe 2 months ago. I'm like, I don't remember. I was talking to him, and he said he remembered me, and I was just like, we're just, you know, shooting it, right, talking. And He asked me what I was up to, and I kind of told him. He was like, yeah, I keep track a little bit, you know. That's cool. I know you were there. I know you were here. I'm like, really, you know? And that's kind of catching me off guard sometimes, because I have a hard time keeping track of anyone. So someone who's that busy to be like, yeah, I remember this, and start telling these things that I've done, I'm just like, whoa, cool, thanks for watching. You know?
That's cool. I'm sure you guys are excited to see him at the show and all the other guys returning and stuff, but like I said, just like so many people have came through BCW, like big names, but there's also like big names that like we would find big names, you know, like local guys.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted to talk about. So let's kick things off. I'm going to name out some people. Where are they now? Give me some memories. And we'll start with El Tornado.
El Tornado. He still works.
Yeah. I looked him up a while ago and I was surprised because I was like, why is he in BCW? Yeah. You know, I thought he was done, but I remember he was sweet back in the day.
He's still rocking it. Yeah. El Tornado lives in Sudbury, and he runs, helps run a promotion called Rock Solid Wrestling. It's all Northern Ontario, and they do a lot of shows up there. And, he's still kicking it, man. He's still doing his thing. And he's promoting now, and he's still an active wrestler. And he's one of the most genuine people that I've met in professional wrestling.
When I was a kid, my whole group of friends and stuff would come to the shows and stuff. Every show, we went nuts when El Tornado came out because he made an effort to jump the guardrail and sit with us and be funny. He named one of his finishing moves the unruly dropkick after our group of friends. Yeah. So it was like, he was the coolest dude ever. And then I actually had the chance to do a few shows with him when I first started. I wrestled him in Timmins, actually. And I don't know what I was thinking, if I was nervous or what, but something happened in the match. He threw me in the corner, and he ran at me, and I could have swore I heard suplex me on the outside. So he runs at me, and I do this up and over thing, and he falls to the outside of the ring. So I get out of the ring, grab him, and suplex him on the floor. And I remember him hitting and going, why? And then we get back in the ring and the match continues, whatever, and then the match is done and I'm walking to the back and I feel like the hardest slap that like I've ever got in my life, right like in the center of my back. So then like we get to the back and he's like, you know why I did that, right? I'm like, no, sir, I'm sorry, I don't. And he's like, you suplexed me on the floor in the first match. And I'll never forget it because Robbie E. and Big Rob, like, you're like,
what the hell is this?
This was in Timmins. Timmins. So Big Rob's like standing there, and then
Rob Rage?
No, not Big Rob.
Rob like Terry.
Rob Terry, the dude who's in Impact for a while. Yeah, you know who he is. You've seen him. He's huge. And then somebody else was there, but I just remember like he's like in the first match, and then Robbie just looks over and he's like, dude, I gotta follow that. And I remember like being young and so like scared or whatever, but the coolest part about that day was I was very green, very new at the time, and I didn't go ask for money from the promoter, so I didn't get paid that day. In the hotel room later on, he looked at me and he's like, how much did you get paid to do the show? And I was like, oh, like I was just happy to be here. Like I didn't care about money, you know, it's cool, I got to work with you, whatever. And he was so mad at me that I didn't, you know, make sure I was taken care of for the show.
I've given you crap for that.
Yeah. He pulled me he pulled me in the hallway and he handed me $50. I'll never forget this.
This Tornado.
He's like, yep. And he's like, someday you're gonna have to give this back to me. But I wanna give you this $50 and I will never forget that ever. And like we've talked, he's called me, like later on that day actually, like that night, he called me and apologized for the slap in the back. And for me, it was like, it was actually a cool experience. Like it was a cool story in my life. So
that
I don't
just
even care.
Goes to what I said. He's one of the most genuine people.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Coolest people ever. So it's like, and he's like, just remember, you know, someday you're going to have to, you know, give that money to somebody else or you're going to be in my situation and I would expect you to do the same thing. So
another tidbit about that man, he's a huge comic book collector. And that's where we bonded because I'm a huge comic book nerd as well. So there you go.
Yeah. hot take.
But yeah, that's my Tornado story.
He's alive and well.
Yeah.
He's doing well.
Yeah, I just always thought he was kind of like a local guy. I don't know much about him. I'm like, what happened to El Tornado, you know?
Yeah. Well, him and Tyson were boys too, right? Yeah. They were doing the whole WWE thing back in the day.
Okay.
Me and Abe actually got to work with them as a tag team.
Nice.
They do one of the coolest tag team moves I've ever seen in my life called the Large Double Double.
You worked on that?
Yeah. Me and Abe did. The Large Double Double, and it's basically I would run at Tyson for like a back body drop, and he gives me a back body drop, and El Tornado catches me with his arms out, So I literally front flip into his arms, and he makes me, like, flip again. So it's literally, like, a front flip, and then, so I basically do a 450 off of a backdrop, but it's the coolest move ever. Yeah. Yeah.
So another guy you mentioned earlier, Larry Destiny, was, like, my favorite guy in BCW reason. I don't know why, but... Yeah.
Larry Destiny was an entrepreneur of sorts, and he was trying to extend the other.
He came to my high school and I was to show his weight.
His weight thing was called the Attitude.
With the water.
My ex girlfriend actually was one of his models that were doing, like, when they were trying to film it to really, like, get it out to the public to start selling, like, you know, worldwide. But I don't think it ever worked out for him. But
he was a massage therapist too, though.
Yeah, he does that too.
What was that?
Massage therapist.
Oh yeah.
To this day, I still say, like, I want to have matches with, like, so many, like, classic BCW guys. Like, I still want, like, if whoever the higher-ups are listening, I want Destiny the singles match.
Man, when they, like, started to come back and they had, like, him and all those old guys, I was like, that's old-timer sick.
Rumble or whatever. Yeah, well, man, when I was, like, running the stuff with Bravo all the time and, like, we were always wrestling, I was like, man, like, how nuts would it be if it's, like, Bravo and then Clancy and then Legacy, like, like, if I literally wrestled all these, like, classic guys. Like, I thought it would have been the coolest thing ever.
That's cool. The Hacker. The Hacker is one that always was like, this guy's fucking pretty good, but
I don't know what happened to him or if he ever did anything. He's up to now, but what stands out in my mind with the Hacker is he used to have the Simpsons nerds on his tights.
Yes.
Oh, really?
You know the Simpsons nerds?
Yeah.
For me, Martin, it was cool because he was a character, right?
Yeah.
He had, like, an original.
He had the keyboard.
Scotty O'Shea took that character for a while.
I'm looking him up, and then that guy comes up. I'm like, that's not the Hacker.
I got him for a while. He did exactly what Hacker did. Brought the keyboard to the ring.
Yep.
Remember, he used to come out to... that Beastie Boys song, but it was Weird Al.
They used to have, like, the AT&T, like, dun-dun-dun thing first, and then the song.
It was the Beastie Boys song, but it was the Weird Al version. It was talking about the hacking stuff. Yeah, it was perfect.
I might still have a key, actually, from when he smashed someone over the head with a keyboard. I might still have a key at my parents'
house. I remember grabbing them,
I used to collect the tables.
Scotty O'Shea actually got his permission to use the gimmick.
Really?
Yeah. He told me that.
So when Dillinger was still in NXT, or, like, he did, like, a run in NXT when he came back, and they went to St. Catharines, where he's from, like, Niagara Falls, and they're like, interview with this guy, the Hacker. He was a wrestler, and he knows Dillinger. What? That's the only thing I was able to find on him. I'll try and find that.
Yeah, he hasn't wrestled in probably 10 years.
No.
I guess he's got, like, a computer job. That's what I heard.
Which is so fitting. He's stealing
living the gimmick.
Mike Legacy's gimmick, too.
Mike Legs.
It's funny you bring up Legacy. There's two different versions of this interview. In my shoot job, there's someone that works next to me, and they're like, "Oh, you're a wrestler. Do you know Mike Legacy?"
Shoot, there? Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, it's real. No.
I was like, "Oh yeah, we used to wrestle back in the day," and he did not remember me. And I get this a lot. He did not remember me until I put the mask on.
Right now, that Phil Atlas is going into a man's bag and.
Just help yourself.
Phil Atlas is very familiar deal, with man. Another man's bag.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Next question, please. Who else?
Finish your story.
I get this a lot.
You don't care.
I didn't cut you off.
No one recognizes me without the hood on.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until that I was actually in practice. And Mike came to visit. It was just recently. It's only like a month ago or something like that. But the friend of mine had talked to him and been like, "Oh, do you know Dan, you know, such and such?" Whoa. No secret. A friend of mine, her name, I guess I shouldn't really say, but at work she was saying that, you know, do you know this guy? And Mike was like, no, it doesn't really ring a bell, doesn't, you know what I mean? So then when he came to the school, and I remember I had my hood, and I was practicing.
Hood, ladies and gentlemen, means mask.
I had my hood on, and he's, I remember you from back in the day. And I'm like, actually a mutual friend of ours. And he's like, that's who she was talking about. So again, this happens to me all the time. I remember I was wrestling a show.
Talking about?
Mike Legacy.
Oh. Hey,
I found the article with the Hacker. It says, former Ontario wrestler, the Hacker, Josh Lessard, was sitting front row to watch his old friend. This is surreal, he said. Geez, I've known him since I broke in. I even gave him one of his early matches. The guy was just a natural from the beginning. I couldn't be prouder of him. So like, you know, just I read that and I was like, there he is, the hacker. I've been trying to find this guy for forever.
That's crazy.
Grandma's Basement. What was his name?
Chris Pilon.
I spelled Grandma's Basement.
Oh my god. Okay. So I actually have a funny story about that. Me and Chris Pilon were carpooling to that one Dylan show, okay? And he was supposed to hit Brad Martin with like a picture frame, right? And he was supposed to get sugar glass for this whack of Brad Martin. And we're on our way there, and I'm like, so did you end up getting the sugar glass? And he's like, no, I didn't. And I'm like, but you have something in there. And he's like, yeah, it's real glass. I'm just going to hit Brad with the real glass. I'm like, oh my god, are you going to tell him? And he's like, no, I'm not going to tell him. And he ended up hitting him with that picture frame, and he cut him open.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But he's just like, ah, you know, whatever. Not a big deal, right? And I was like, good geez.
Who else was
you guys got anyone?
Let me think.
Here. There's got to be more. Otis Apollo.
Otis obviously. Apollo.
He shows up.
He's still doing it. Up. Yeah. He when Can-Am Rising came back, a bunch of guys came. So
he's
him
manager.
And Legacy.
He was Josh Alexander's manager.
Alexander was in it, right?
He was Josh
really?
Alexander.
I didn't know that he was in it.
Yeah. That's silly. Anyway,
so I was telling them, I had like, I'm looking it up now because I had all these old flyers that I was going to bring like from the
Rusty
beginning to now.
Oh, Rusty Silverstein.
There you go.
The high class Gripplers. Man. Oh, man. They were classics right there.
CK3.
So that's.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Conrad. I remember him.
Crimson.
The man with the best promo ever.
Yeah. He was actually responsible for freaking Martin.
Really?
Yeah. He cut a promo on Brad, and he's like, he's not speedy Brad Martin. He's not strong Brad Martin. He's just Brad frickin' Martin. And they ended up doing this amazing match in the crowd, you know, during the hot comeback. Freakin' Martin. Cool. Yeah, and then it stuck. And now it's freakin' Rollins.
Yeah. Jimmy
Jacobs. We should talk about Jimmy Jacobs. Yeah. He was there, like, he basically broke in right before us, you know.
Yeah, he was very young at that time.
Yeah, he's done amazing things, you know what I mean? He's gone to write for WWE.
Oh, he's a whole other entity when it comes to this stuff. He's his mind works so differently than anyone else. You know what I mean? Just very in tune with what's going on and very smart to the business. He's a very smart wrestler.
Oh,
and that's why when he started getting under contract and started, you know, doing things in wrestling, it wasn't just for wrestling. It was more backstage, more using his brain, putting things together for other people. Because he's just a very smart.
I've seen him in charge of matches, right? And he knows what the wrestlers are doing before they even know. Like he's just so in tune with everything. He might be in charge of 3 or 4 matches, and he has it down in his head, right? He's not writing down nothing. He's very smart to the business.
Yeah, and like we talked about before, you guys were tag team partners. And
that's right.
Like you said, you won your first title at the Bret Hart show or whatever there with him, right? So.
Yeah, it's cool. I had the opportunity of watching him actually conduct a promo between Tessa and Kira Hogan in Florida, and it was just mind-blowing to see, like, how just precise he is on certain issues and how, like, you know, gestures and an emphasis on certain words, like, it really matters. And, like, when it's a finished product, you can tell, like, how much he actually is involved, you know what I mean?
And when you're actually, like, I spent a lot of time traveling with him because we used to do tours out west, you know, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, and Manitoba. We would do that, like, there's like a 3-year span. We were doing that 3 or 4 times a year, and it'd be like long tours, like three, four weeks at a time, right?
Okay.
So like, I spent a lot of time on the road with that guy. And just
poor guy.
Just talking to him. You really see like his passion for this, and like he's a born entertainer. He's just a talented person. He's very artsy. I find what we do is an art form.
Absolutely.
You know, I look at it as an art form. I don't look at it as a physical contest or a sport, even, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just look
Joe
at it.
Joe Dorn would punch you in the face right now.
Probably a crap. That's the way you're talking about. That's the way I look at it, man. It's a performance and it's an art, and that's what I put on top first, aside from the athletics and the sport aspect and all the other stuff.
Yeah, no, you know, I get it.
It's all performance, man. It's an art.
I get it.
That's what keeps me in, man. I'm a very artsy guy, and I don't show it. Outside of the world I'm in, right? Because I'm an artsy guy, but I've never found an outlet to really let that out until I found professional wrestling.
Cool. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, too, you know, is how much goes into it, even with a promo or, you know, building a match.
Well, to me, I don't understand how you really can't realize it, because, like, I might not be into, I don't know, ballet or opera, right? But if you brought me to a Pavarotti concert,
And after Pavarotti was done with his encore and the whole crowd stood up and gave him a standing ovation, I'm not going to be that one asshole in the crowd to go, well, that sucked. You know, no, man. I might not be into this, but this guy just got a whole place to go nuts for him. Like, props,
what you guys
man.
Do is totally different. You know, like they know what songs they're going to do when they go out there.
I'm not about that. Just if someone goes to a wrestling show, they might not be into it, and you see the crowd just loving it, and the people are filing out of the building after. They're all happy. The kids are happy. Everyone's going nuts about it. How could you really talk bad about that? Like, it might not be your thing.
I don't disagree with you on that.
That's one thing I did always find about professional wrestling, though, is, like, it's a different animal live than it is on TV. Like, on Absolutely. TV, it's very tame compared to what it is in person. Like, when you're there live, sure, it's like any other, like, hockey, there's the speed, you know what I mean? In baseball, there's, like, the calculation. But in professional wrestling, there's so many different aspects.
Well, wrestling's the drama, man, the drama of it all. Like, you watch any sports movie, what? Like,
it depends,
it's all about the sport, but the drama involved. Wrestling's a live drama. Sport drama, man. It's all about the drama. It's all about building that drama.
You have to know what you've gone to see. You have to watch it like you're watching a movie. Like, you get into, like, a Batman movie or whatever. You have to let yourself, you know, get into that world. You know what I mean?
And not all of it's based, you know, just pull out of thin air kind of thing. Like, it is based in reality in times where it is, like, effects that you're saying in real life, like, you know what I mean? Like, what happened with Bischoff and Flair, how, you know what I mean? How things are, like, were very heated and they just used that, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, you know what I mean? They emphasize certain things and it gets past a certain point and people get heated because of things that happen and like that. But it is, you know, like, there's real emotion that you can pull on that, you know, experiences that happen in your life that you pull into that ring.
There's certain people that can draw that emotion though. And that's what draws the best. And like, you know, the other people apart is just, you have to draw that emotion from individuals, right? Everyone that's watching you have to draw something out of them. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I got you.
Like, get them involved. You know what I mean? I
have brought people to shows and they're that mentality or they don't want to like it, whatever, but by the end they're on.
By the end they're into it.
So that's an accomplishment on your guys' behalf.
The first 5 years of my career, I used to always say, like, I don't want to entertain the wrestling fan here. I want to entertain his girlfriend that he brought. Or the little brother that didn't want to go, but his dad made him go because he's bringing his other two brothers. You know what I mean? The one that didn't really want to be there. Next thing you know, he's like, I'm really interested in this. And he's having the best time of his life. That's who I always try to entertain.
You know,
like,
right? I know what you mean.
You want to grow that for sure. And that's what we're here
about.
We're talking
tag teams. What happened to tag teams? What do you know about tag teams, Phil?
Pardon me? I'm a tag team specialist. And it says that on my resume, the fact that I'm the Border City Wrestling Champion.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have I held that title? About, what is it? Well, okay, hold on. One, two, and then I held it for about 4 years, lost it, and got it
lost
back
it.
With Brett
Pitt. Lost it.
Lost it because Border City went on hiatus. I lost that title not because I lost, but because Border City went on hiatus, the titles were retired. And then when they brought the titles back, I picked them up again with Brent Banks.
Yeah, Brent Banks. He doesn't like you very much.
Good.
Yeah,
he good.
Like you very much.
Because listen,
we've been talking.
I'm not gonna get into what happened between me and Brent Banks.
Nah,
but the fact is, I was ready to just break up with him. I didn't want it, but we were still the champs. But so what? What am I gonna do? I did what I did, no matter what. And guess what? Border City decided to let me pick a partner, and Brett picked a partner. And who did Brett pick?
The best.
Yeah, you.
The best.
What happened?
Yeah, me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can you tell me what happened when we had that match?
You know exactly what happened.
Because this is what happened. I don't know.
He's in denial a little bit.
For the listeners, okay?
Yeah. For the
me and Brett Banks had a falling out, but we were still the strong.
Tell some BS story.
We were still the strong champions, okay? So we weren't going to team no more, but we were still the champs. So what was that? March? Of this year?
I think so.
March break.
Border City said that I could pick a partner of my choosing, and Brent Banks could pick a partner of his choosing. And the winner of that match was going to be the new Undisputed Tag Team Champions. And I picked Jake Something, and that kid Something.
Who all really like him.
And Brent Banks picked this guy over here, Aiden Prince, okay? They put out a valiant effort. Yeah. They tried very hard. And the key word is try. You know,
Something wrestled very good
see,
that night.
Yeah, see,
something's the mess.
You cut corners for so long. But like, you know,
nothing and something made so something.
Listen, you want to talk about the logistics of everything, who cares?
The fact of the matter is, I pinned Brent Banks' shoulders. 1, 2, 3, and me and Jake something are the new tag team champions. So I'm like a 3-4-time BCW tag team champion.
Can't even.
And I'm not going to lose it.
Too busy trying to impress people's girlfriends.
And your girlfriend's pretty bad. Anyways, bottom line is, me and Jake something are the new tag team champions. And I'm a
bottom line is,
4-time Border City Wrestling tag team champion. And yeah. The only time I'm going to lose that belt is when I decide I don't want to go for it anymore. Because guess what? I could have went, after I lost the Border City Heavyweight Championship, and listen, I want to go back in history here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't just one person. Listen, it wasn't just one person that beat me for that title, okay? It was about 4 or 5 people that got involved in that day. And that's why I lost the title, okay? And I'm not even going to get into the aspect that I was never given the rematch.
Oh, my.
And I didn't even bitch or cry or moan to even get the rematch.
No,
he's not doing it at all.
I said, screw it.
Totally not.
I'm going to go for the tag titles and go back for the title when I'm ready. Because, you know.
No. Bottom line, we were talking about tag team. Jimmy Jacobs doesn't like you. I don't like you. Brent doesn't like you. Nobody likes you. Anyways, what other BCW legends can we talk about?
I did like him.
Are we gonna have to keep the peace?
Have you ever held the Border City Wrestling Heavyweight title?
Oh, you'll see, my friend.
I don't know. You have to gain 25-30 pounds if you're gonna get that.
We'll see. We've been through this. We've done this. It'll happen again. Please make it happen again so that I can punch this idiot in the mouth. But anyway.
Hey, higher ups listening.
Where did you hear that Jimmy Jacobs doesn't like
me? I've heard it many times. Many times.
I think we could just put a blank space there and then put doesn't.
And that's pretty accurate. We could possibly do that.
Mass produce them.
Yeah. That sounds like a t-shirt, actually, to me. Blank doesn't
whoever
like
whoever doesn't like me doesn't matter. The fact is,
let's tell everybody how much,
I'm the tag team champion in Border City. Okay? I have an illustrious career.
I just haven't
here.
Been given the opportunity yet, my friend.
You haven't? You got the opportunity last March. Yeah. What happened?
I need the opportunity where you can't cut your corners and cheat. That's what I need.
What do you mean? That's the name of the game.
Okay? The name of the game when you're Phil Atlas.
The record book does not lie. I'm the champion. And you could try to ask for handouts and favors all you want. You could get another shot at the tag team championships. But the fact of the matter is, I don't care if you're teamed with Brent or this guy or Reverso over here or friggin' Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
The fact of the matter is, I'm going to figure out a way to win, and I'm going to continue being the tag team champion.
Yeah, you'd hit him with his own 2x.
And listen... Probably.
Yeah.
Don't trust me.
Exactly.
Rule number one.
Bottom line is, listen, there's nobody in Border City Wrestling history that went literally overnight with a snap of my fingers from the most loved person in that building on the roster to the most hated. And neither of you can deny that.
Overnight might be an exaggeration.
Overnight. The reason, listen, I chose not to...
Yeah.
Entertain the crowd, not to just be a puppet walking through trying to entertain this crowd. That was my whole 10 years of my career, which is I want to be liked, I want to be loved, I want everyone to sit, cheer me, and have Atlas signs. I chose to go the other route, and guess what? With a snap of my fingers,
I think they chose a long time ago to stop liking you.
No.
Why? Because you got stale, bro. That's
I got stale.
You got stale.
Okay.
Let's be real about it. You're old news now, Phil.
Old news.
Yeah, you're old.
I'm still a tag team champion.
Yeah, man. If given another opportunity, you will not be tag team champion.
If. And if I have any say in it,
of course.
No goddamn way will I be standing in the ring and looking across from it and seeing your stupid face.
No goddamn way. We'll see. Anyway, sorry guys.
Before how do we continue from there?
Yeah, it's
good. We had a podcast.
Phil Armstrong, you're the one who started.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
You better hope you don't get that match. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be
listen, up to the higher. This whole thing is about me and Brett Banks, man.
Of course it is. It's about you.
I don't like. I have this heated rivalry with Brett Banks. But you know what?
I'm getting quite heated right now.
Now that I'm talking to you and we're doing this, I kind of like Brett Banks a little more because I hate you even more. Brett Banks is a good guy in my book. The hell with
him. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see, my friend. Anyways.
Okay. Well,
sorry, guys.
How do we go from here?
Yeah, anyways.
Anyways. Well, the show is coming up. Like, you guys have touched upon it a lot in the last...
Yeah. I don't know what
God knows
yet,
how long.
I hope you're
no one does that.
You're not getting a damn tag team. Yeah,
we'll see you on that.
We're not getting off topic.
A real wrestler.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll face LAX. Or
I'll distract you with reverse maybe your girlfriend.
Maybe I'll face maybe the Hardy Boys. You know, real wrestlers. I'm not going to face no scrubs like you and Brett Banks.
Leave my water bottles alone. Leave my gum alone. Get away from me.
My towel.
Leave my towel.
Whatever happens on October 6th, it's an honor to be a part of it.
It's not whatever happens. Whatever. It's not whatever happens. This is what's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
I Phil Atlas.
First, he makes us wait an hour to do this podcast.
Right? Yeah.
Then
he
shows up and talks about himself the entire time.
Take a lesson from Killer Al.
Perfect.
Find a segue to get into the ring. Buddy.
Nobody knows who the hell Killer Al is. The fact of the matter is, Florida City Wrestling, October 6th, 25th anniversary.
Yes. Phil Atlas.
I know I'm going to defend my title. I know I'm going to have to defend the title. I mean, I can't get away from that.
And you know who deserves it.
And I'm not trying.
You know who deserves it.
I'm not trying to get away from that. But the fact of the matter is, nothing's going to change. I'm going to walk out of St. Clair College, still the tag team champion.
Please.
Still gonna be around my shoulder.
Everybody that's heard this, if you want to see this guy lose, please come out to the show.
You think I'm going
to
lose?
Come out to the show.
I just think everybody
wants to see it after this.
Have you been watching the shows? I am in complete control of my destiny.
He thinks he's in control of his destiny.
I think Jake something was in complete control of your destiny.
Why is Jake something the tag team champion right now? I chose right and chose the better man. Brett Banks chose a loser.
A loser.
Just like Brett Banks.
Arguably one of the fastest rising stars in BCW.
Who, Brett Banks?
No, me. And I did it a lot sooner than you did, my friend.
What are you talking about? Within 3 years, I'm on the rise, but...
Yeah, we'll see.
On the rise,
but... We'll see, Phil. Anyways, someone give this guy a piece of gum or something.
He already had the cheese.
Exactly.
Chew on than his BS words. We try to do something nice, Bill. We come here, we try to talk about our anniversary.
We're not going to act like friends.
And you have to make everything about you.
We've known that for
everything.
We can't have nice things around.
I'll be cordial in this environment, but I don't like you.
He probably doesn't even know what that means. Anyways, can we talk BCW or do you need to leave? Do you need to
I might leave.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm going to leave.
Please do.
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Watch what you're saying. You're disrespectful.
Okay, well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to... sorry about that for everyone that's listening. We're going to try and get back on track here. Kind of start to wrap things up. But, you know, we want to talk about the 25th anniversary here with El Reverso and Aiden Prince. Prince probably got a lot of stuff on his mind right now, but
a little bit.
You know, what do you guys, Dan, what would you like to see?
Like I was saying, anything that I'm doing, it's an honor to be represented on the poster on the advertisement for the 25th anniversary show. It's just something that I couldn't even imagine if you told me back when I was 14 years old coming to the show as being saying, you know, on this show that you're going to be on the flyer. I wouldn't have believed you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's just an honor to be acknowledged like that, and just to be a part of it is going to be amazing. To tell you the truth, just to be there. You know what I mean? Be
absolutely
considered part of that. Like Border City is one of the biggest shows that there is going right now. I mean, anywhere across Canada, anywhere across North America, it's amazing. So,
yeah, do the fake call.
Sorry, guys, it's awkward.
Gotta have a coat.
It has to calm down. I was trying to quell a little bit.
It's cool. It's just, it's stupid. Chance, man. Just give me a chance.
If you need, we can practice in the school, Can-Am school. We're going to go over a couple
that's,
things.
Let's talk about that.
That's what I was going to lead into next.
Can we talk about that?
Now that just that you guys are very involved in the school there. Just tell me about what's going on there, and if anyone listening that may be interested in coming out, what would you tell them?
October 22nd, we got a whole new class starting at the Can-Am Wrestling School. You can contact the school at canamwrestling@hotmail.com, I believe it is, or just get there through bordercitywrestling.com. It's trained Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm not sure schedules might be changing, so, you know, we don't know too much yet. But, you know, just if it's something that you want to do, they've obviously trained some of the best, not including Phil Atlas. We did all come from there, and I mean, some of the biggest names in the wrestling business have come from there. Bobby Roode, Eric Young, lots and lots of people.
Rosemary.
Rosemary. So many different talents that have come through there.
All types.
It's definitely the best place to go to.
Oh yeah, I would recommend to anybody. It's what I've always said is it's one of the hardest things that you'll ever do in your life, but after you've accomplished it, it's one of the most fulfilling. You know what I mean? That once you've gone through it, you know that you can overcome
it. And trust me, it's not an easy thing, but if it's what you love to do and you know you have the work ethic to do it, then it's there's nothing like being a professional wrestler. So
I think that's the one thing that we all sitting here have in common is that from the very beginning, from childhood, you know, we always envisioned ourselves being pro wrestlers.
Yeah, it all.
Holy.
And he's back.
Yeah, I'm back.
It seems
all right. We can relax. Continue on. Stop.
Relax.
Okay.
I ain't paying
for this. Keep our composure here, guys.
What are we talking about now?
Let's be professional.
Just relax. Disrespectful, man.
Stop it.
We're trying to come to a place and do podcasts. You're slamming.
Yeah, we were talking about.
Shut the door, man.
You shut the door.
You started with me. I took a walk. Listen, I don't even want to go.
Speaking of the wrestling school.
Yeah,
talk about the wrestling school. Yes. Okay, great. Yes. Great.
If you want to be like Aiden Prince and I, come down to wrestling school. If you want to be like Phil Atlas, pay $50 short of your tuition and then start wrestling. And then.
Listen, this is what I'm going to say about the wrestling school. For all you guys, anybody listening to this is thinking I want to be a pro wrestler. Don't do it because you think you want to be rich. Don't do it because you want to be famous or any other kind of thought process like that. Do it because you love it. Because honestly, the only people that last in this is the people that love it. Because you're gonna get kicked in the nuts 1,000 times, and you need to smile and nod.
Of course, you get kicked in the nuts, right, Phil Atlas? You get kicked in the nuts,
especially if you're in the ring.
Yeah, especially if you're banks across from Phil Atlas, and you want to save your titles in a cowardly way. But hey,
I've been kicked in the nuts by Phil Atlas before. I can tell you,
of course, yeah. Phil Atlas just does that.
Well,
people in the nuts.
You're lucky there's a table between
us. Yeah, of course.
I would definitely be kicking you in the nuts right now. This was actually from the heart. You need to love this. You need to actually sit down and think, do I really want to do this? Because if you don't, you're not going to last. Because listen, your pride's going to be cut. Your nuts are going to be kicked. you're going to have a lot of mental problems going on, man, because this business isn't out to give you anything. You need to earn anything they're going to give you. And just like anything, man, like, you have to have a passion for it. And if you don't have this passion for it, you'll realize real quickly that this might not be for you. But I'm not trying to discourage anyone. Yeah. If you have always dreamt about being a pro wrestler, Can-Am Wrestling is the way to go. That's where you want to go. But I'm telling you.
That's the only thing we're going to agree on. That's
maybe,
the only,
maybe.
Only thing.
But I'm telling you, I mean, make sure it's your passion. Make sure this is what you want to do, because it's not. It's definitely not easy.
And watch your back with Phil Atlas around.
Yeah, good. That's the message for anyone that's listening.
Yeah.
Watch your back with Phil Atlas around. Tag team champion. Tag team specialist, Phil Atlas.
Yep. Keep putting yourself over, Phil.
Tag team
specialist.
Can't do it by himself.
He can't do it well.
Hate to wrap it up, but
anyway,
that could be it.
I gotta get out of here.
And there you have it, folks. It's my understanding that right after this interview here at the CJAM studio, Prince, obviously, in his frustrations with his conversation there with Phil Atlas, he decided to go right down
to the BCW offices and demand another match, and that's where they had came up with the idea to do the ladder match so that it would be a little bit more fair for all the parties involved. So, you know, that was just very interesting. Was really not expecting that, to be honest. But like El Reverso said in the conversation there, if you want to see Phil Atlas lose to Aiden Prince and Brent Banks on October 6th, come on out to St. Clair College for Border City Wrestling's 25th anniversary. They already have a lot announced for the show and still more to come. They have their main event set for the Border City Wrestling Can-Am Championship, where the champion Congo Kong will defend his title against Johnny Impact, formerly known as John Morrison, against also former Border City Wrestling champion A1, and Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne. Of course, the ladder match is going down between Brent Banks and Aiden Prince against the champions Jake Something and Phil Atlas, with the titles on the line. We have a street fight between Moose and Eddie Edwards, a knockouts match between Kiara Hogan and Jezelle Shaw. The Doug Chevalier Memorial Gauntlet will be returning, superstars from the past, present, and future going through this Royal Rumble style match. And most recently announced as their blockbuster announcement and signee in David Arquette. Yep, that's right, David Arquette from Scary Movie, Eight-Legged Freaks, Ready to Rumble. He's doing his thing on the indies right now in wrestling, and he's going to be teaming up with RJ City to take on Halal Beefcake, the team of Joe Coleman and Idris Abraham. So we're not going to go through a lot of sports news here on the podcast this week. It's been a pretty long one. But I am going to run down a few upcoming events and games in regards to the Windsor Lancers this weekend. The Windsor Spitfires will be taking on the Kitchener Rangers at 7 p.m. on Saturday at the WFCU Center. AKO Fratman's final home game is this Sunday at Alumni Field when they rematch the Grizzlies at 1 p.m. In regards to our Lancers more specifically now, women's basketball is at the St. Denis Center against the Western Spartans. 6 p.m. tomorrow night, the 28th, and they rematch on Saturday, same time and place. Women's hockey will be taking on London at the WFCU Center Main Bowl, also on Friday at 7 p.m. Men's football will be taking on Toronto Varsity at Alumni Field as part of the Alumni Weekend at 1 p.m. on Saturday. And if you haven't heard, Lancers hockey alumni from the 97-98 Queens Championship team will be taking on the Detroit Red Wings alumni Saturday at South Windsor Arena at 4 p.m. It's headlined by Eddie Mio, Windsor's own and former goaltender for the Detroit Red Wings. And that will all be wrapped up at 6:30 on Saturday when the men's hockey team takes on Guelph in their home opener, also at South Windsor Arena. For more local sports news, go to windcitysports.com/more to listen to the CJAM radio version, or visit cjam.ca and find our profile on there. But that's going to be all for this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. My name is Drake DeMore. I'm here, your host, every single week. New episodes of Wind City Sports drop every Thursday live on CJAM FM 99.1 in Windsor and Detroit. Replays of the radio show air on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. and then at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday following the debut of the radio episode. The podcast drops here on windcitysports.com and wherever podcasts are found, including iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and the list goes on and on. We also have a YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram page, so search up Wind City Sports and you should easily be able to find us. Give us a like, subscribe, or follow, whatever it may be. We'll be back here on the podcast and on the radio show, same time, same place. So until then, smell you later.